I'm with Ewan McPherson and we're talking wine and how to grow it in a place like Queensland. How did locals welcome you and Alyssa in Ballandine in 1996 as a pair of young out-of-towners?
Oh, we felt extremely welcome. Any small community loves it when people come along and invest in that community. That's one of the great benefits of people planting vines and building wineries is it just brings so much into that community. Obviously the investment of dollars to start off with, but with wine tourism going crazy, it just brings so many other consumers through, I guess, to put it bluntly. And so yeah, all this sort of new activity in the district, so that sort of, whenever a new winery comes up, people go, fantastic, this is just great for the area.
So how did you come up with the name Symphony Hill? Where did that come from?
That's my wife's fault, Alyssa. Basically, in a good way.
She, in a good way, yeah. She's not here to defend herself.
But. Yeah, but she's listening, so I'd better say that. No, it is great. She basically had a Julie Andrews moment on top of the hills at Symphony Hill when it was just a bush block.
Have you had any of those, or is that just Alyssa's territory?
I'm not going down that path tonight.
Okay.
and yeah, she came down from the mountain with these, we shall call it Symphony Hill. Basically, you know, like a Walt Disney's Julie Andrews moment she had, yeah, where the hills are alive and all the nature was there, and I just thought it'd be a great name for the winery. More than just music, but great wine, great food, good friends, good wine. So that sort of symphony of life sort of concept, really.
So after setting up, after planting your vines and coming up with the name and all of that, eventually the time came to taste your first vintage. How was that moment? What was that like?
Surreal. It was just and fabulous. It was like all our hopes and dreams. Our first vintage was just an absolute cracker. And it was 2002. We had a reserve Cabernet, a family reserve Shiraz of one barrel. And so that's like 275 bottles. And reserve Pinot Noir as well, and all these amazing wines. And we got the wines sent to us, the samples. They came up for us to have a try, because before they came, we didn't have the winery at that stage, so we sent the grapes to a contract winemaker, and they got the samples back, and we opened them up around the table, and we were all just, it was just this elation and this satisfaction. There was just this big sigh around the table. It was just thrilling. It was just amazing wines. And they went on to win golds and do all sorts of things. So we don't just love our own wine.
Yeah, it's a good start. It's a very good start to your winery's life. Have you ever had any wines where anything's gone wrong, where things haven't worked out at all the way you might have thought?
Yeah, winemaking is all about minimizing mistakes, basically. That's what you learn at uni, is to minimize mistakes. The best wine is made in the vineyard, so you've got to grow the best grapes you can. But as far as things going wrong with wines, yeah, it starts from in the vineyard. Things can go wrong. Like we had snow in November last year, and which is all nice and pretty, but until the next day we have -5, and then all the frost happens and you don't pick any Shiraz that year, for instance. So from things can go wrong at that stage through to all sorts of different areas along the way. So
how do you deal with that? Say, I can remember when that happened last year and you lost about 3/4 of your grapes.
Yes.
How does that day feel when you get a sense that it's coming, when the temperature's falling and you know it's going to be really cold? What do you do? And when it doesn't work out, how does it feel?
Our winemaker really got crushed by it, of course. He knows each vine by name and as much as any of the family does. Myself, personally, I'm a lot more philosophical about life, and one of the benefits of some of our charity work in visiting third world countries and raising a bit of money for those people is that you see how most of the world lives, and when things like this happen, it gives you a good perspective, I guess, I'm trying to fumble out. And so when things like this happen, they're not a huge tragedy. They're, all right, it's a challenge, right? What do we do? Off we go and get into it. But it's certainly not something I want to happen again.
No, much as you'll be stoic about it, prefer to avoid that kind of thing this November, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I think it's healthy in life to have perspective when things go bad, and simply, I do love problem solving. So some of my computer programming systems analyst sort of thing comes out of me. Oh, good, a problem. Let's go for it. Maybe that's more the point.
And you've had fires as well.
Yeah, bushfire in October 2002, from memory, about 5 years ago, of course, and Yeah, that was very surreal. It was a horrible fire. I've never experienced a bushfire before, and just the sound of the fire coming down the hill is like it's a big train coming down the hill, and there's smoke everywhere. And like 6 hours before, we're running around the house packing the car with things. Well, what are we going to save? And you come back to the house after the fire's passed, and with all these stupid items that you'd save, it just makes no sense. So as I say, agriculture has all sorts of challenges there in terms of weather and bushfire. And we haven't had the plagues of frogs and rivers of blood yet, but I think they're next week.
Okay, and you're ready for that,
are
you?
Oh, bring it on!
Good. And, you know, maybe you could do something with the frogs that will go with the wine. Now, you mentioned third world countries or developing countries and things that you've been doing there. Maybe you could tell us a bit more about that and about a very special 2004 red that you put out.
Yes, we're talking about the red wine. It's named after our daughter, Dan Ying, which is Chinese for red singing bird. And basically our little, beautiful little Chinese dolly girl we adopted from China in 2004. And we named that vintage after her. It's a blend of two red varieties, Shiraz and Cabernet Sauvignon. And 10% of all sales of that wine go to support Asian orphans. And it's just a great name for red wine as well, of course, Dan Ying with Red Singing Bird. Mm. She's five now, so it should be Red Screaming Bird, but it's too late to change the name. And she's a beautiful little girl. And again, it's a huge life experience. We've got two boys we created the old-fashioned way, but we adopted a third little girl, and she's been great. Really, just the whole family's benefited from having a bigger worldview, from having such great experiences. We love Asian cultures and food. Again, I get back to food. I'm obsessed, let's face it. And great thing to do. It's all, again, it's all my wife's fault. I mean that in a good way again. And she's the one who instigated this and brought me on board. And so I guess that was her turn, wasn't it, to have a different adventure. But I gladly followed her down that path.
Are your sons expecting to have wines named after them too, or do they see this as a special one-off thing?
Well,
that
if they're listening tonight, they may now, thanks. But no, it hasn't come up at this stage. 11, 8 and 5, so no, not at this stage.
And have you been to India and seen some of the places that you've been involved with?
Yes, because we've got the nice easy part of raising money. There's we actually visited to some of the programs in India where some of our money goes to support, and not just our money. A lot of people donate money to this, which is a small drop in that ocean. It's just a small group of people who felt a call to help their fellow countrymen and adopt little boys and girls off the street and bring them into their home. There's one guy, he's a pastor in the mountains of Nilgiri, and he's adopted 16 girls rather than see them die, and took them in as his daughters and raised them. We got to visit them and take photos of each girl and talk to them, and just uplifting stories. I expected to come back from India depressed at the situation of poverty but we toured some slums there and others where people were making a huge difference, and not just for immediate difference, but affecting generations of people, giving them hope and purpose in life. And it's just so uplifting. It was fabulous.
Raising money for something like that kind of work is one thing. Going there and getting involved with it is another. That's a further step. But actually going through what must be a complicated process to adopt a child from another country, that's a different step entirely. That's when it becomes part of your life forever.
Yeah, it's a huge story, and it's hard to know where to start on that. It's a decision to adopt came from my wife when she heard a visiting preacher come to our Stanthorpe Baptist Church, who's actually part of this group that we give money to, Asian Kids in Danger. And he's telling us the story about this pastor that I just repeated before about adopting all these girls, and rather than seeing them being put down, that he actually adopted them and saved their lives, and it just moved my wife so deeply at the time. I wasn't at church that morning because I had been up all night with our second boy, and when she came home, saying, "I want to adopt another third," I went, "You what? I've been up all night." But I I got onto the idea quite quickly.
And you're with the program now and have been for some time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a big long road adopting from overseas, and there's a lot of things to consider. And there's things like a lot of children that are over 18 months will have attachment disorders that are very serious, and not just love will cure, but you need assistance as far as that's concerned, because they've been raised without any sort of real caring contact, and so their brains are wired differently in many cases. So yeah, there's a lot of challenges, but thank God we're there for them, and thank God they're in our lives too, because they've really added so much to our lives, that's for sure.
And how do the three kids get on together?
Beautifully. James and Hamish, which I went to, if I go to Scotland, they'll tease me senselessly because it means the same name. But anyway, my oldest is James and the second one's Hamish. They're so loving kids. They're just so forgiving and loving of Zara when she came home. I think she was head thug in the orphanage when we first got her. But she's become maturing and beautiful, and they're just so patient with us. They're fabulous kids, and they're a great role model for her to see how it is to socialise and interact.
My guest is Ewan McPherson, and we are talking about wine and life and
stuff.
A range of other things. Now, do you have a sense of what your children think of growing up surrounded by grapes and with winemaking going on around them? It's not a city kind of life, is it?
No, it isn't. But it is great, and it's great to go bushwalking and running around and up and down the vines. I like to pick the fruit when it's time and help out there, and yeah, those sort of experiences are great. And so it's just the reason, one of the great benefits of moving out to the country is to have that sort of life. So yeah, it's great, and they love it.
Are there any signs that any of them, I know they're still quite young, but any signs that any of them might follow you into the business?
No, a bit early to tell on that one. No signs there that I can see.
Since occasionally people taste wine on ABC Radio, we have had the chance to taste a wine of yours tonight. This is the 2003 Reserve Shiraz, which stands out among Queensland wines as being the first Queensland wine to win a gold medal at the Sydney Wine Show.
Yeah, that was just a huge thrill. Only our second vintage, and we were just so new at the time, it really, the impact didn't have as big an impact as it should, for want of a better description. It's just a huge, it was actually the top scoring red wine in the whole country at the Sydney Royal Wine Show as well, so it's just a huge, huge achievement.
What were you expecting going into that show? What were you hoping for?
Gold. I actually love the wine. Yeah. I'm always devastated when it doesn't get a gold. But
that was my next question, is how does it feel when you know you've made a good wine, but it doesn't get the reward you think it deserves?
When you get gold, the judges are fantastic and they've got a great palate. And when you don't get it, then, they don't know what they're talking about, basically. It's just simple rules. So, no.
So it's very much like literary awards then, really. Yeah, I know how that goes. Let's take a song. Let's listen to The Church and Under the Milky Way.